Coming up in this episode...
This book is a very interesting and amazing blend of art and Emily's story.
She is under anesthesia. She's in the hospital. She's confusing reality with dream, and I wanted the narration to reflect that.
I spent 4 months in France in college and wasn't really into the art. I got the francophilia that infected me was more the wine.
Okay. Wine and the cheese and the baguettes.
Yeah, right. Yeah. This podcast from Georgia Public Broadcasting highlights books with Georgia connections, hosted by two of your favorite public radio book nerds who also happen to be your hosts of All Things Considered on GPB Radio. I'm Peter Biello.
And I'm Orlando Montoya. Thanks for joining us as we introduce you to authors, their writings, and the insights behind their stories, mixed with our own thoughts and ideas on just what gives these works the narrative edge.
Okay, Orlando. You asked me to prepare for today's episode by asking me to think about a favorite painter or a favorite painting. Why?
Because the book we're going to be talking about today revolves around art. It's a work of art in words called The Art of Her Life by Cynthia Newberry Martin from Columbus, Georgia. It is a work of fiction, but a central figure in this book is really Henri Matisse. Matisse, the French... I thought he was an impressionist, but apparently he was for a little while. Then he had other styles. And I learned a lot about Matisse from this book. He lived a very long time from 1869 to 1954.
Okay, so the book is fiction. It's called The Art of Her Life. Title doesn't refer to Matisse. So who is the she in the title?
The she in the title refers to the main character of this book, Emily. She is obsessed with Henri Matisse. She is a 36-year-old curatorial assistant at an art museum in Charleston, South Carolina. And over the course of six sections, we don't have chapters in this book, we have really long sections. Mm-hmm. But over the course of this book, we follow Emily in some really difficult periods in her life, and we get through them with art, and we understand them with art, specifically Henri Matisse. This book is a very interesting and amazing blend of art and Emily's story.
All right, so tell me a little more about Emily's story. I'm curious about what was going on in her life and what drew her to Matisse. So she works in an art museum, really likes Matisse. What's she going through?
All right, so very early in the story, we're introduced to the two main, I guess you would say, plot drivers of the story. There is her relationship with her boyfriend, Mark. It's falling apart. They're not getting along. They have different priorities in their lives. And the second sort of plot device is her health. She has a cancer scare. The tests, they can't tell. It's too early for a diagnosis. Does she or does she not have cancer? And in the midst of this, she's raising two daughters from a previous relationship. She's trying to advance her career at the museum, and she doesn't know what to do. And this section of the book is named after the Henri Matisse painting called Breakfast.
What is cool about this painting, and I didn't even learn this until I was well into writing the book, is that Matisse painted this in 1920 in Nice. And it's typical of that time period in his painting life, for a number of reasons: the brush strokes, the colors, mainly the bright colors and the brush strokes, and the patterns that you see in the painting are typical of that time. But what is unusual about Breakfast is that it creates a sense of intimacy, and it focuses on the psychological feeling of the model.
And one thing I love about this book is that the sections are named after different Matisse paintings. So you can follow along with the story in the paintings. Now, there are no images in the book. Breakfast is on the cover, but you'll have to sort of look up the other paintings for yourself. And I am going to show you Breakfast.
Okay.
Breakfast, there, by Henri Matisse.
Okay. Looking at Breakfast, there's a woman... in a chair, sort of leaning away from her breakfast. It's got a tea kettle on the table, what looks like a bowl of lemons. Are those lemons on there? And then she's got flowers in the background. So there are the bright colors that you were talking about. So Yeah, I mean, how does this fit into the story? And more importantly, do you think that, like, you need to know the paintings that...
No, definitely not.
You don't need to have studied art history and get what's going on to understand what's happening with the character.
You don't even have to look up the paintings if you don't want to.
But okay.
It is interesting, and that's what interested me about the book. I'm like, how is this story going to relate to these paintings?
So if you know the paintings, does it add a layer, kind of like an Easter egg for the book?
I think so. It's sort of an extra bonus, I think.
Okay.
But I asked the author, what does this painting mean with this part of the story? And Cynthia Newbery Martin wouldn't tell me. She wanted to leave that up to me and the readers. She said there were two interpretations of breakfast. And believe me, last night I Googled, what are the two interpretations of Henri Matisse breakfast? But I didn't get anything. So the way I interpret it is that the woman in the painting is bored. She's lost in thought. She's expecting something. She's contemplating something.
We're already way farther than two at that point. More than two interpretations.
That's what I'm guessing. She is just sort of bored and contemplating something. And that's what Emily is in this section of the book. She's bored with her job, or more precisely, the people she works with. She's lost in thoughts about her health. She's expecting word about her health, and she's contemplating what to do about Mark. Does she want Mark or not? And so that's how this painting fits in with the story, in my opinion.
Can I ask you to back up and tell me what the relationship problem is between these two? You said they have different priorities.
So Mark wants to get married, and Emily basically does not want to get married.
Huh.
And
okay.
So Mark wants to move on with his life or get married. That's the big problem. They argue about other things too, but that's the big problem.
Okay. Well, was Cynthia Newbery Martin a big fan of Henri Matisse when she started writing this book?
She told me she was not, that she doesn't even have an art background. She says she was a Francophile, and Francophilia has a way of getting to Henri Matisse.
Okay. Yeah, I could see that. I mean, I spent 4 months in France in college and wasn't really into the art. I got the Francophilia that infected me was more the wine.
Okay. The wine and the cheese and the baguettes. That's great.
Yeah.
But the choice of this particular artist for the book's inspiration had not to do with her love of Matisse or really art, but it was really with that one painting, Breakfast.
It was more about choosing a painting that could be interpreted at least two ways. And it was back in the early 90s when I started writing this book. So I had lots of coffee table books from museum visits and exhibits. And I just started looking through those to find a painting that I could interpret in two ways.
Wow, she's been writing this since the 90s?
Yeah. So she's, I guess it's a slow burn.
Yeah. She must have a day job of some kind. Keeping her from this?
I don't know. I didn't ask.
Didn't ask. Okay. All right. So where does the story go from breakfast? Emily's deciding whether or not to keep or ditch her boyfriend, and she doesn't know if she has cancer. So a couple of heavy things there. What's next?
Well, the next section of the book is named after the Henri Matisse painting called The Invalid.
Ooh, okay. So the cancer.
The cancer, yes. I don't think it's giving too much of the story away to reveal her diagnosis. By the way, I mean, she spends the first quarter of the book talking about cancer. So there's not much you can do after talking about cancer that much in the first quarter of the book. Other than to get it.
What kind of cancer is it?
Ovarian.
Okay.
Ovarian. So, yeah, she has cancer. She lets Mark leave. Mark is an archaeologist. He goes to Turkey to work on sunken ships and ancient buried towns. But she's going through these horrible treatments. She has friends that help her, yes. She continues taking care of her daughters, but she's in really, really bad shape. And her narration, and I should say this is a first-person narration, so Emily is telling the story. Emily's narration in this part becomes very disconnected, very poetic, very dreamlike. It's all light and shadow, and it happens gradually, and you really can't tell what's happening sometimes, but it's very beautiful. I really love this part of the story. Again, the section is called The Invalid.
This is one of Matisse's earlier paintings, but this was the most perfect match of all the paintings to the parts. And this was painted earlier in Matisse's career, right? Maybe 1899, if I'm remembering right. Emily she is under anesthesia. She's in the hospital. She's confusing reality with dream. And I wanted the, and you know, she's awake, she's asleep, she's awake, people are coming in. And I wanted the narration to reflect that.
Wow. So does Emily wake up from this dream?
I will say that the invalid is not the last chapter.
Okay, that's a clue.
Okay. And I will say that in the final sections, she needs someone.
Okay, and is that someone Mark?
Actually, the person she needs most of all is Henri Matisse.
Okay. How did I know that was coming?
Emily needs Matisse, really. She does, like air and water. Throughout the book, we get little nuggets about Henri Matisse through his own writings. Emily talks about this because, as I mentioned, she loves Matisse. She relates her life to his, and she often quotes from Matisse's own words as relayed through a 1973 book called Matisse on Art by a writer named Jack Flam.
Jack Flam collected all of Matisse's writings, his essays, his statements, his interviews, anything he could get his hands on. There are about 50-some-odd texts in this book, and he translated them from the French into English. And it's a magical compilation of Matisse on art. And anyone who loves art or loves being an artist, I would highly recommend this book. It's wide open. It's not just about painting. It's about everything that made Matisse Matisse. And so if I was falling in love with it without an art background, Emily was sure to fall in love with it.
So it's sort of a book within a book. And I have to say, I really love these nuggets about life and living and art, relayed through Jack Flam, relayed through Emily.
Okay, were you tempted to read the Jack Flam book?
I was, but you know, you and I have like news to do every day.
we have things going on.
Other books to read. But I might in the future, because the little nuggets that I get from it in this book kind of reminded me of a transformational book in my life, and that was called Letters to a Young Poet by Rainer Maria Rilke, which has sort of the same vibe of offering life advice through the lens of art. And anytime I can mention Rilke's book, I will. So.
That used to be real popular in Europe in the 20th century, right? Writing long philosophical things about your art. I think being the Francophile that I used to be, right? It used to be called the La Poétique, right? Am I getting that right? Am I remembering college correctly?
Sounds philosophical.
Yeah. Like these painters, like it seems like what Matisse did, it was pretty common. They'd write a statement about what guides their art, and it would often be biographical, philosophical, that kind of thing.
Yeah. I suggest all of these things. Rilke, Matisse, and going to your art museum and looking at your favorite paintings. Speaking of which, I did ask, what is your favorite painting or painter?
Almost ashamed to admit this because it reveals a lot about how lowbrow I am, which is Mark Ryden. Have you heard of Mark Ryden? First of all, I should say I am not like scouring the universe for paintings that I might like. It's not typically the art form that I gravitate to when I want to appreciate something. That's maybe why this kind of jumped out to me. He kind of writes these gothic scenes of doll-like children, and they're scary looking. And there's a lot going on in these paintings. And it is referred to as kind of the lowbrow pop culture movement of art. It's the kind of art your goth teenager might like.
Okay, so I'm looking at it now. Yes, I can get it. Goth teenagers.
It fits, right? That's what it is. Mark Ryden is his name for podcasters looking for some lowbrow art.
I'll say my favorite painting is Hokusai's Great Wave.
Okay, so we've got two poles here, the lowbrow and the highbrow.
It's dramatic. I love the colors, blue and white. I love the man versus nature. I love how it's become an icon in itself. It's influenced other artists, other musicians and poets. And as far as Cynthia Newberry Martin, of course, I had to ask her the question as well.
So many. Picasso, Renoir, Chagall. I love Chagall. I've always loved Chagall. And I also wanted to mention Matisse had a favorite painting. And it was Cézanne's The Three Bathers. And so that's another discovery that I made when I was writing this book. And I believe he owned it. And he would look at it over and over again. And each time he said he would see something new or learn something new. So that it was amazing the parallels I found between Matisse's life and Emily's journey in this book.
Okay. At this point, I'm wondering, are we talking about art or are we talking about a book here?
Isn't it great, though?
No, it's great.
It's great. I mean, that's what gives this book the narrative edge. In my opinion, this book is an absolutely delightful blend of visual art and words on the page. I mean, it's like oil and color meeting narration, and in some parts even poetry. And we've got a story that keeps pushing you along, you know, new information, new twists. It keeps you going with, will Emily survive? Will Emily and Mark get back together? What happened to the kids? All of this wrapped up with little life lessons from Matisse. You know, I picked up this book to see if it would work, and I was totally prepared for it not to work. But it did, combining the art and the page.
All right. The book is called The Art of Her Life by Cynthia Newbery Martin. Orlando, thanks so much for sharing it with me.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for listening to Narrative Edge. We'll be back in 2 weeks with a brand new episode. This podcast is a production of Georgia Public Broadcasting. Find us online at gpb.org/narrativeedge.
You can also catch us on the daily GPB News podcast, Georgia Today, for a concise update on the latest news in Georgia. For more on that and all of our podcasts, go to gpb.org/podcasts.